I have to say that I'm entering into a new phase of my existence this week, and that is very different and counter to the way I've lived out my life in the past several years. I'm avoiding the news. I've been avoiding turning the news on and reading the paper. I've even buried the application on my phone that connects me to the news. Not because I don't care, not because I don't want to know what is happening, but I find that the preoccupation with so many converging things is beginning to cause an anxiety within me that I can't do anything about all that's happening, tragic events that are happening all at once in the world. Over a year ago, we experienced an earthquake that took the lives of so many in Haiti. Many years ago, we watched a new war begin in the Middle East that brought with it sorrow and fear and controversy. But over the past couple weeks, we've seen the convergence of major world-changing events all happening at the same time that almost seem like they're too much to handle. Have you felt like I've felt in the past couple weeks? It reminds me of the uncertainty of life, and I wonder, how will these events be redeemed? What will happen next? Where is their hope? Where is the good news in the world that is around us? In the passage that I read this morning, Jesus talks about the uncertain nature of God. Not that I would ascribe anything that is happening to the blame of God, but there is an uncertain nature in our Christian faith that we acknowledge that for so many things we lack control and we lack power. The beginning of the Bible, if you will open it up to the first page of Scripture in Genesis chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, God's Spirit hovered over the deep, and there was chaos and nothingness." At the very beginning, when there was no order, when there was nothing that made any sense, there was, in the Hebrew, Ruach Elohim, the Spirit, or the breath, or the wind of God. Before there was anything that was in order, Ruach Elohim, God's breath, hovered over the deep. Remember that. I'll come back to it. In our gospel passage this morning, we have a wonderful encounter of this man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a member of the group that so often is the subject of Jesus' teachings. We hear of the Pharisees often. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we heard that Jesus said, "When you pray, don't pray like the Pharisees. When you fast, don't fast like the Pharisees." This is a group of religious leaders, of religious elite, that often were blasted by Jesus as being the wrong ways, or the ways that oppressed others and were living out their faith. And here we see Nicodemus, a member of this group, came to Jesus by night. He didn't come to Jesus to persecute him or to trick him. Nicodemus came by night because he wanted to show his private or maybe even secret support of Jesus' ministry. He came to Jesus and he said, I know that you must come from God. Even though my colleagues and even though the other Pharisees say that you must be a wicked person, I know that nothing that is as good as what you are doing could come from anything else but God. Now, as good as Nicodemus' intentions were, Jesus takes a little strike at him. Jesus says, "Well, you think that you have the keys to the kingdom, but I tell you, no one can even get a glimpse. No one can see the kingdom of God unless they find new birth, unless they are born of the Spirit." Nicodemus is a very wise, learned man. In order to be a Pharisee, you have to have the highest level of education, to be a scribe, and of the Hebrew people, he was of the elite. Nicodemus says, what in the world are you talking about? How can someone be born again? Jesus says that unless you are born of the Spirit and of water, you cannot see or even enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus goes on to say that God's Spirit blows where it will. And we don't know exactly where it will come, where it will go. And so it is of those who are born of the Spirit, that they learn to follow where it leads, not always making sense, and not always with it certainty. Now, the word Spirit in the New Testament is written in Greek. We know that New Testament books are written in Greek. And that word Spirit, I was very interested to look it up, and it comes from pneumatos. Pneumatos, for spirit, has many, many other meanings. And it also means wind or breath. Can you think of any current English application for the word pneumatos or pneuma?
Pneumatic drill.
Pneumonia. Yes, they all have. Pneumatics is a technological field that focuses on the compression of air or the compression of gas. Pneumatics comes from the same word, so it means really force of air or of wind. And pneumonia, we all know that that's something you don't want to get. It has to do with limiting our breath. Well, pneumatos is the word in Greek that was trying to capture the word that Jesus probably used, which was ruach, the word that was present on the first page of the Bible. Jesus was saying to this man, indeed, if you have been born of the flesh, if you have been born into this world, you have had to learn about the world. You have had to see and learn the ways of the world, of ultimately how to speak and how to walk and how to eat and how to socialize. But if you have not learned to be born of the Spirit, of God's Spirit, of Ruach, you cannot see a higher plane of being. See, the word ruach is so important within Jewish understanding because this is the notion of when life begins. I learned some time ago that while in Christian faith and Christian church there's a lot of debate about pro-life and pro-choice issues, a Jewish friend said to me that it is very clear within Jewish culture when life begins. And that is when God gives ruach to a baby. That is when the child takes its first breath. I don't raise this for any sort of political argument in any way, other than to say how important ruach or spirit or breath is to the Jewish people. And Jesus was saying to this man, you may have received the ruach hanefesh, the spirit of a human, but unless you have received ruach Elohim, that was present at creation, and that God gives to us, you cannot see. I'm so convinced, the more I grow in my own Christian faith, and my growing in faith involves so many steps forward, and often more steps back, before I get up and move forward. I'm convinced, as I continue in this journey of faith, that Christianity is more about seeing than it is about doing or believing. Jesus said that in order to truly see, to see what is important in this world, to see who it is that God is calling us to love, and to see how we are to live in this world, we have to receive new breath. I don't know about you, but in all that's been going on in the world, I have felt completely exhausted and fatigued, yearning for some new sort of energy or life around me, a new sense of hope. Jesus calls us to new birth. Now this passage, John 3, is used and it has a lot of religious baggage with it. I have to claim that. I have to name that. That this passage is used to divide different Christian doctrines and polities and denominations. It requires for some people to give a profession of when, on what moment they were born again. Or for other people, they have to know that moment in which they were brought into a particular community. But I believe that Jesus is speaking much more than an experience that we can write down a date in which we know that God entered our lives. Jesus is talking about how it is that we let God respirate through us. We are called into new life to follow the Spirit, but if we've not learned to breathe, if we've not learned to realize that God's Spirit can breathe in and through us, our ability to see what is important in God's eyes is limited. Now, Nicodemus continued to be an important character in Jesus' story. We know that after that night, Nicodemus continued to be a secret or a private follower of Jesus because he shows up again after Jesus is crucified. He shows up at the cross and at the tomb. And we know that for so many who seek to follow Jesus, it's this moment in which we receive new breath and the Spirit in our lives that can begin a slow transformation, a process of becoming alive and taking on new life. Today, we continue the Lenten journey, the inward journey. We began last week in the wilderness in which we put ourselves in a space in which we have to confront the uncomfortable moments and elements of ourselves. This week, we continue the journey, and we know that if we are to follow Jesus, we need to open our lungs and our eyes and our hearts and our spirits, not to live on our own, but to live in God's beautiful and wonderful uncertainty. I pray this day that you may receive God's Spirit and that we as a community may take a breath and allow Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, to respirate through us. Now we know that when God's Spirit blows through us, we don't always know where we're going to go. We don't always know where hope is going to come from, and we don't always know what the good news will be in the end. But we know that we are a loved people, we are a led people, and we are a redeemed people. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for your Spirit that you blow through us and in our midst. God, we pray this day for new life. We pray that you will revive us individually and communally. We pray that you will continue to strengthen us and help us to be your hands and feet in this world. And God, we pray that as we respirate your Holy Spirit, that we will be able to see more clearly and to point your reality out to those in our way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.